The Braisa in Masech Debei, Daf Gimel Mabeis, summarizes the halacha that we've been discussing so much since the beginning of the Masechta. The Braisa says, Echabeish, Nolde B'Shabbos, Vechabeish, Nolde B'Yontif, whether it's an egg that's born on Shabbos or on Yontif, Eim Atatno, so we may not move it, Lo L'chaspa as a kli, not to use it as a battle cover, Lo L'sfach by Kare Mita, not to use it to support the legs of a bed. Avo koifel as a kli, we're allowed to put a keli over it, b'shvil shaloi teshava, in order that it shouldn't break. Interesting, before we get into the main issue we'd like to discuss in our shir today, there's a very interesting tshuva in the Tzalos Tshuvas Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek Hei, Simen Ches, that discusses the entire issue of moving eggs on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And obviously the question that the Tzitz Eliezer was asked was by someone who was from Eretz Yisrael, who was involved with an egg farm, that every day, he says, hundreds or more eggs are born, hatched, and if they're just left where they're hatched, there's a real concern that these eggs may break. And the question is there any heter, is there any way that the eggs could be moved on Shabbos? And this person who's writing, and the entire shaila, the entire question, is also brought down in the Shaila Satshuvas Tzitz Eliezer. And this person who's asking the question wants to be makel for two reasons. One is based on the fact, as we've been learning in our Masechta, that the entire Isser of moving the egg, meaning metalta the egg, is essentially an Isser derabbanan. And maybe in a situation where it's an Isser derabbanan, we could be a little more lenient. And the second reason he wants to be makel is based on a din in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Reish Samach Vov, in Hilchos Shabbos, Sif Tes. The Shulchan Aruch in that Simen discusses the halachas, if someone is, as the title of the Simen goes, Mishich Shchloi B'derech, somebody's on the road and it becomes Shabbos and different situations he has to face. And one of the issues the Shulchan Aruch discusses at great length is what happens if Shabbos comes and he has different items on the animal in those times that he's traveling with. The Shulchan Aruch there says, "Higia l'chotzah chitzoyin hamishtameres." Once he gets to a chotzah that's protected, where he could take off the different items that he has on this animal, says the Shulchan Aruch, "Noitim alach amor kelim hanoitlim v'sherin itolim." He can remove from the donkey both kelim that are muksa and not muksa. What should he do? Matas achavolim, untie the straps with which these kelim are connected to the animal, vasakim noiflim, and that's how they'll fall. Continues the Shulchan Aruch, from hoisatun akliz achuchas, if the animal is holding glassware, sh'osl tatlim, which are muksa, and the Shulchan Aruch gives such an example, going shen koisr sham akizay dam, that the glass cups that were used by people who did bloodletting, she'ein ruyim b'shabbos l'klum, that they may not be used on Shabbos, l'fi she'ein mu'usim, the muksim achasmias, the dirty from the blood, v'myiplu l'oritz, on the other hand, if you just release the straps and let them fall to the ground, yishaberu, they will break, m'niach tachteim karm v'kastas, you'll have to put under these, next to the blank, next to them, pillows, and different pillows and blankets, that they'll fall on them and won't break. And what is the issue? The issue is
that as long as they're on the pillows and blankets, that you can't move these pillows and blankets. You're making this into muksa. And there's a din, the osel vatel keli mechonoi. You're not allowed to take a keli and make it not usable on Shabbos. And indeed, the Shulchan Aruch continues, shiyochel shamtem mitachteim. They have to be in a way that you could shake them off afterwards. That you could pull out the blanket or the pillow from under them after they fall on them. So even though it's being mevatel kelim mechona, it's temporarily. If these kelim that fall are large, she'eni yichoil lishman akar mitachteim, that you can't pull out the blankets from under them, osla nir tateim, you may not leave those blankets there, and then shevatel kelim mechona. You're making this keli non-usable. Pierce my attachment, show you muchanloi, that till now you could have used this blanket and pillow, and now you may not. El park and menachas, you should remove them as carefully, shloi shaberu, v'loinichem albeim, but don't leave them on the animal, shum sar balachayim. So this person who's writing the shaila to the Tzitz Eliezer says that we see that we allow this to be done, even though we're going to be mevatel keli mechachonam. And the same thing he says, we know what halacha is, in Siman Shin Lamed Daled, if there's a fire, we're allowed to remove money or different muksa objects under certain circumstances because of a hefsid, because of the fire. So here too, since there's all these eggs, that if they're not going to be taken care of before Shabbos, there's a real concern that these eggs will break. So the halacha is, he wants to suggest that it should be mutter to move them on Shabbos, even though we're learning so extensively in our Masechta that it's awesome. So the Tzitz Eliezer responds to him, and he says, Chas v'shalom. He says, in terms that even if we learn that it's mukzah d'rabbanan, the Rambam and other Rishonim say that we're never allowed, muksa is a very serious isser. And even if it's only just a drabonin, we have no right to be lenient on a drabonin. He gives an example. We're going to learn later in our Masechta, if a bechor fell into a bar, if an animal fell into a bar on Shabbos, ain't mutar lahaloisai, or Shabbos yontif, even though you can't bring it up, lefish ain't a royal achila, because it's not edible, it's a bechor. Even though it's a question of tzar bal chayim, we see that muksa, even in a situation of tzar bal chayim, muksa is so significant. Muksa is so significant that it's treated like a deraisa, and therefore we have to be machmer. And actually, there's a very nice raya to how strict we have to treat muksa from a chsam sofer. The Gemara here in our Gemara that we're discussing also says that we're machmer by Sofik. And the Gemara asks, if it's a Sofik, so if we say the issue is the issue of Hachono, and Hachono is a Sofik deraisa, so we could understand. Sofik deraisa, we have to be machmer. But if it's, we go according to the opinion of Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak, that the reason the bay is osur, because perish shenoshru, or the reason the bay is osur is because of mashkin shuzov, it's only derabbanan, and we ought to be makel by a derabbanan. So Mefarshim asks, and why doesn't the Gemara ask a question on Rabbi Yehuda? The Rabbi Yehuda that learns the reason is because of muksa, the Gemara should have also asked that, how can we be lenient if it's a drabon? How can we be lenient? Muxas, why are we being machmer? Shouldn't we be lenient? Muxas of the rabbanon, sofik drabonon kula. We don't see that the Gemara should ask that question. So many achronim say that muksa, even though it indeed is a drabonon, even though muksas is a drabonon, it's not the same as other drabonons. And since it's not the same as other drabonons, were much more machmer by muksa than other drabbanans. So therefore, the Tzitz Eliezer says, certainly in this situation, we have no right he says, in this situation, we have no right to be lenient. We have to be machmer in Hilchus Muksha. That's one. Then he says, the second point that you try to make, based on the psak that we read from Simon Reis Samach Vav, Siftes, Simon Shin Lamed Daled, he says, those are not compelling rayas. Number one, he says, at the end of the day, as we read from the Shulchan Aruch, there is a fact of Tzah Baal Chaim, which doesn't exist by the eggs that are hatched on Shabbos. Number two, we're not actually moving muksa there. What we're doing is we're letting these glass kalim fall on the pillows and blanket. And since we're letting it fall on the pillows and blanket, there's no direct movement of muksa. And that's why it's different than the question that you ask, that it should be allowed to, that you should be allowed to move the eggs. Furthermore, he says that the heter that you suggest, that if there's a fire, chas v'shalom, you're allowed to move the money. Number one, he says, it's not so poshut, that is indeed the din. It could be that the din is that you're not allowed to move money in the case of fire. So it's a machloikus in the Shulchan Aruch. Secondly, we know that the Gemara says that in the situation of fire or listim, there's a concept of odom bol al-mamoinoi. A person, if we're going to be strict with him, may come to do something completely wrong. Here, there is no odom bol al-mamoinoi, because there's no fire, there isn't something that happened. And he continues on that line. He says that, in general, the heter over there is in a situation that it's in a situation where it's sudden. Nobody expected a fire, Rahman al-Tzlan. Nobody expected to be attacked by listim. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch is maybe a little more lenient. Here, every farmer knows there is no, that the eggs are going to be hatched on Shabbos and Yontif. There is no issue that this is something that happened unexpected, and therefore we don't have a heter. And lastly, he says, and he's a little disappointed with this, the person who sent him the Shaila says, well, let's look at the wording of our Gemara, our Mishnah. The Gemara and the Mishnah speak about Beyah Shonoldu, Nolda. Therefore, he wants to suggest that it's only if it was a Beyah, if it was one egg, Shonoldu, that was born on Shabbos or Yom Tov. That's where we have to be strict. But in this case, where it's Beyim, many eggs, we perhaps could be a little more lenient. Frankly, he takes great exception to that approach. And he says, Chas v'shalom, to take an approach like that, that there's a difference because it says Beya or Beyim. And therefore, the Tzitz Eliezer, very much in line with what we have been learning in our sugyas, takes a strict approach to ever being allowed to move egg, even many eggs that were hatched on Shabbos or Yom Tov. But what the Mishnah continue, what the Gemara we just learned also says, in Koifa Lekli, you could put a keli on top of it, shloit to shover, in order that it shouldn't break. And the Yerushalmi, when it quotes this din, says, Uvad shloit a keli noigea begufa shabetza. We have to be careful that the keli doesn't touch the egg. And as the Radvaz explains, why do we have to be stricter over here than under normal circumstances? He says, because since an egg is round and it's easily moved, so when you have something that's round and easily moved, we have to be a lot more machmer and be concerned that we may be moving the muksa. Which really is the issue of a very important discussion. If we look in the Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Shin Ches, we actually quoted this Simen, this Sif, in our previous year. We look in Simen Shin Ches, Sif Gimel. The Shulchan Aruch says, Klei Shemach Delisser discusses Muksa, and the Ramah says, Hagah, Kom Muksa Ein Osa Elabel Tel Tulay. When we speak about Muksa, the Yisra Muksa is moving Muksa. Av B'negiyah Ba'alma, if you just touch the Muksa, Shein Menadadoy, that you don't move the Muksa, Shari. That's not a problem. And therefore the remark continues, L'chein Mutter, Liga Menoyer Shebeis HaKnesa Shaneris Dolkos Alav. You could touch the menorah in the shul that have lit candles. Or betana should boil by eish, a furnace that has fire in it. The chemuta log dava heta amunach al dava muksa. You could pick up something off a dava muksa. Why? Because all that's involved is just touching, not moving. And touching and not moving is mutter. Unless, quotes the Mishnah Berurah from the Gra, you may come that unless it's a situation we may come to move the muksa. And therefore, the halacha is, and these already are halachas, so to speak, closer to home. These are the halachas that we're learning in our Masechta. We look in the Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Shin Chafes, the Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Shin Chof Beis, Sef Aleph Paskins, Beish and Nolda B'Shabbos, an egg that's born on Shabbos, Asura Latatla may not be moved, Vafilinus Arva B'Elef, even if this egg gets mixed up amongst 1,000 eggs, Kulin Asuras, V'yocha Lokova like Klish Leit Shaver, you could put on a keli on top of it, or vachla yigaba. And we have the exact same halacha, actually, quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Yontif, in Simen Tof Kuf Yud Gimel. But there's one minor difference, which will be very important, and will be the primary subject of our shir. We look in Simen Tov Kuf Yud Gimel. The Shulchan Aruch says, Beish Nol De B'Yontif Osa Ligaba. You're not allowed to touch an egg that's born on Yontif. Hago Dehayne L'Tatla. You're not allowed to move it. So as the Mishnah Berurah and all the other Paiskim seem to say, the Shulchan Aruch, we seem to have here a Machloikis of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, of the Mechab and the Ramah, that the Ramah is being more lenient. And the Ramah is saying that only tiltal, only moving the egg, is osur on Shabbos and Yontif. But it seems that he holds touching it is mutter. Whereas the Mechab says, you're not allowed to even touch it. And in fact, the Mishnah Berurah says that the Mishnah Berurah tries, I'm not sure how to learn Pshat in the Mishnah Berurah, frankly. Is the Mishnah Berurah saying that although there's a machlokes here of the Mechaber and the Ramah, we're going to follow the Psak of the Mechaber and not allow even touching an egg? That's one way of learning the Mishnah Berurah. Or maybe what the Mishnah Berurah means to say is that the Ramah doesn't mean to argue on the Mechaber, but the Ramah means to say that an egg, since the way an egg is, it's easily moved, therefore we have to be stricter by an egg than by other items, and just touching it, since it's so prone to moving, we may not even touch it on Shabbos and Yontif. However, so that's one approach. One approach is that are you allowed to touch something that may move? with the Mechaber being Machmer and the Ramah being Mekel. That's one approach to this entire question. So according to this approach, just to review, you may touch Muksa, but only in a case where it's not going to move. In a case where it's likely to move, you're not allowed to touch the Muksa. But there's an entirely different approach. And there are those that want to suggest that that's the Machloikis of the Mechab and the Ramah. The Ramah holds you're always allowed to touch Muksa. You're never allowed to let the Muksa move. But if you touch Muksa, whether it's Letzoyrich or Shaloi Letzoyrich, Muksa, it makes no difference what your goal is in moving the Muksa, you're allowed to touch it. Whereas the Mechaber says, if you're touching the Muksa, Letzoyrich Muksa, it's for the purpose of the Muksa, then the halach is you're not allowed to touch it. But if you're touching it, Shaloi Letzoyrich Muksa, then you may actually touch it. So now we have a very fundamental machlokes. Are you allowed to touch Muksa when the Muksa won't move? It seems quite clear that if the Muksa is going to move by you touching it, you're not allowed to touch the Muksa. But are you allowed to touch the Muksa when you're not going to move it, but it's the Tzorich Muksa? Some of Machmer, it seems that there are Rishonim and there are Paiskim, the Magen Avraham, and others that are Machmer, the Gra, and others are Mekel. There's an interesting Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer says that even if we're saying that you're allowed to touch Muksa when it won't move, he says food, which is Muksa, you may not touch. Why? Because there's a new concern that if you're going to come to touch the food, you may eat the food. The Shulchan Aruch Rav disagrees. He says this is a new gzeira. As we know, we're not allowed to make our own gzeiras, and therefore he says that you're allowed to touch even food if it's muksa. Touching any muksa is permitted.